Gibson swings and a fly ball to deep right field. This is going to be a home run. Unbelievable. A home run for Gibson. And the Dodgers have won the game 5-4. I don't believe what I just saw. I don't believe what I just saw.
The line down the left field line for our base hit. Here comes Joy. Here is Junior to third base. They're going to wave him in. The throw to the plate will be late. The Mariners are going to play for the American League Championship. I don't believe it. It just continues. My, oh my.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs come pouring out of the dugout, jumping up and down like a bunch of delirious 10-year-olds. The Cubs have done it.
Puckett swings and hits a blast. Deep left center, way back, way back. It's gone. The Twins count it a seventh game. Catch them all, Kirby Puckett. Catch them all, Kirby Puckett. And the Twins have won this game 4-3. On a dramatic home run by Kirby Puckett.
Hey, live episode, Hot Take Scorer podcast.
Hey, you look good. I like it.
Got rep in the Cubs jersey here. If I can get it in the frame, that would be awesome. Amish is rep in the Jesus.
It's going to puff Jesus' death skull, too.
You know, we're not going to be as structured as we normally are, obviously, because we are live streaming. So we appreciate you stopping in. So Amish, first off, I know we talk like almost every day, but how was your week baseball-wise or life-wise, whatever you want to comment on?
Baseball, life, things are good. I mean, you know, scratching my head as a Twins fan for the longest time leading up to last Saturday. And, you know, we were burying our head in our hands and just why what is this happening? Why it's Mookie Betts to the Dodgers? Why get the stinking Dodgers? Just give it up.
Mookie,
I gotta admit he looks good in a Dodger uniform, so.
You know, we're just gonna hide all the facts about what Jeffrey Luhnow did in the code breaking scheme. You know, we're not gonna include that in the report. We wouldn't want to do that, stain our game like that, would we?
No, but we're okay with steroids.
Yeah, steroids, fine.
Let so,
great.
Yeah, so hopping right into that, man, it's just the web that just keeps getting bigger. It seems like, I think at this point, it's just easier to say every player in the league knows about it in 2017.
Well, they sure have been talking about it enough. I'm kind of befuddled. I mean, the thought occurred to me, and I've said it a couple times, just, you know, texting to you. Didn't the commissioner's office say don't talk about the Astros investigation?
Yeah, but I mean, they still should have. I mean, what would ML? I mean, how would that look on Major League Baseball if someone, I don't want to say of great importance, but you know, someone that's a little more high regarded than other players said something? What are they going to do? Kick him out of the league? How would that make Major League Baseball look?
Yeah, I mean, you know, threaten them with fines and stuff like that. You know, have a spine. Major League Baseball. I mean, this is why you've been hired, you know, so to speak, by the owners to do this job, is to, you know, be the referee of this whole thing before things get out of hand. And Dusty Baker right now, he's concerned that things are going to get out of hand when the Astros start play. Also, does he have a right to do so, though? Yeah.
Also, just don't mess up your own investigation.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't grant people immunity before.
But the Players Association, Amos, the Players Association is all mighty and powerful union.
By the way, and I said this yesterday in my original stream. Okay. I must admit, I was for Manfred for a while. And then he's just messing everything up.
Yeah.
You know, they messed up this investigation years ago. And then, you know, of course, there's the playoff. Possible playoff changes, which we'll get to a little later on. But
well, that's just a smokescreen, isn't it? Oh, okay. Look at this exciting thing we might be doing. What do you think of this? Don't talk about the Astros investigation. Let's talk about a new playoff thing, everybody.
Oh, Speaking of sorry excuses, shall we get to the Astros?
Well, sorry excuses of Astros? Okay. Where do you want
to... apologies. They're apologies.
The apologies. There was a great tweet out I saw. All the great songs we can now play when the Astros visit our stadiums, and one of them, Nirvana. All apologies.
Are we really going to sing?
Why not? We're on live. On live. I love it.
I'll take it. I'm going to hold my voice.
Oh, but you've been great. You've been
great. No one wants to hear that. No. Okay. So first off, before we, I mean, we're going to talk about the apologies right now, but I want to ask you the side note question before all the apologies even got started. Well, apologies, which I still thought they were half-assed.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Correas was okay. But
well, yeah, he did seem to speak with some candor, did he not?
I agree. He was more convincing than the other half-assed apologies. But even before all that got started, did you see that representative of the Astros? Someone said it was their PR representative. I don't know if that's true or not. I didn't do that much digging into it. But did you see the one, like, he was up there at the microphone stand, and he went to, I guess he went to leave, and there's like a row of bushes behind him, and he cut through the bushes and nearly tripped and fell flat on his face. And I was like, is that a symbol of how these apologies are going to go?
I just get out.
I could try to find the video to that because it's honestly hilarious to see, but I don't know if I'll be able to find it or not.
He needs to use his Homer Simpson powers and just fade into the weeds.
Yeah, I mean, they were anyway, but so which apology do we want to quote unquote evaluate?
Oh God, I don't. Does it really matter? I mean, the one I'm most interested in, or was most interested in, was Crane. And how a guy can go from one end of the spectrum to the next in the span of about 45 seconds is beyond me. So I don't know. Are we playing them? What are you doing here?
No. Keep talking. Okay. I can't find it, so.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, again, Codebreaker is the whole thing that kind of started this whole thing. I'm looking right now at an article by Jay Jaffe of Fangraphs, and it kind of breaks down, you know, this whole deal and the things that the commissioner's office hasn't talked about and we haven't had an opportunity to air out. And this Wall Street Journal Jared Diamond report is just fantastic from everything that I've seen. You know, talking about decoding opponent signs and putting it in an Excel, you know, program. And then he makes great questions later on in the article by saying, you know, why isn't this guy that came up with the Codebreaker, why isn't he being dealt with? And the answer is, in short, the commissioner has left it up to the Astros to do that. But the problem is the Astros culture in itself might not be doing anything about it because they like things the way they are. They don't want to change, you know, anything about themselves. It doesn't seem. Anyway, maybe they're sorry, yeah, but do they want to change anything about themselves? It doesn't seem like it.
Here's why they're not going to do anything about it. Because Major League Baseball's not going to do anything about it.
Yeah,
we now know because of Crane's ridiculous and asinine apology that, you know, everyone in the Astros organization is guilty. You can't go higher up than Crane.
Yep, he's the owner.
You can't go higher up. So if the owner isn't sorry, and let's be honest, he's not. The coaching staff is quote unquote sorry. The players are quote unquote sorry. I mean, what Major League Baseball? I mean, I know this ain't gonna happen, but why would you not strip the title from them?
Okay.
I mean, if they don't show any remorse for it, what's stopping them from doing it again? Couple prospects, that's not that big of a deal in some ways. I mean, we got to remember that Mike Trout wasn't even taken until what? Yeah, he was taken later on, is my point. But, you know, that doesn't, you know, you look at the hindsight, the fine wasn't a big deal. They're a multi-billion dollar, you know, team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You look at the prospects, the potential prospects, that's not a big deal. They're pretty much getting a slap on the wrist, and at the end of the day, they're still going to say, yeah, we're world champs. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I know they can't do it because of the immunity thing that Major League Baseball did a couple years ago, but they should have the title stripped. I wasn't for the title being stripped at first, but after hearing all these, the Astros are not sorry. They're sorry they got caught. That's what they are. They're sorry they got caught. And I mean, and you know what? They should have the title stripped and no one gets it that year. Sorry. Because people are like, why don't you do a Yankees-Dodgers series? They don't have the same players.
Not the same.
Not the same players. This is something that hasn't been done before when it comes to using technology.
We're talking technology here, right?
Yeah. Just technology. That's what we're talking about. If you want to compare this cheating to all the other times that teams have cheated in the past, yeah, they can't be stripped. But if you look at how specifically they cheated, something that no other team does that we know of so far, then I don't know. I think there's something there that they should have. They did not win it fairly, despite who was it that said that they think they won their title legitimately. You know, I mean, was that
Reddick?
Reddick, yeah. Shut him off, Reddick. Just shove off, man. But
that reminds me, I was going to actually look up on Mr. Adams, you know, that Astros fan that came up with over 8,000 trash bangs or whatever, you know. I wondered if Reddick was on that list. I did not look, but I meant to. So
there was allegedly three players.
Mm-hmm. I know Marwin Gonzalez was the leader.
Well, there was allegedly three players that did not partake in the trash can sign stealing.
Right. This is according to Belt or Correa, right?
I think it was Correa. He said Tony Kemp. He alleges that Altuve didn't.
Right.
We can debate that. I watched the Tony Kemp interview. I'm convinced that he's innocent. I really am. And then I'm trying to think of the other guy that was. I don't think it was Reddick. Maybe it was Marisnik. I don't know. I'll have to find that third name. But
that denied that they were participants, you mean? Or
yeah, like Correa said that those
might have been Marisnik, yeah.
Purposely did not want anything to do with it. Like, they knew it was going on, but they didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, the young guys, it sounds like, the not established guys.
Strip every team in the last few, this is what Count says, strip every team in the last few decades from possible steroids. The only thing you could do is penalize and move on. Yeah, but where do we draw the line to say, don't do this anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're only going to lose a couple draft picks and a couple $1 million, is that really going to motivate people to stop cheating in the future? Especially if every team is a multi-billion-dollar team. I don't know which team has the lowest, like, worth, but you know, we got to draw a line somewhere. And I thought this would be the best time to do it because, yeah, the cheating is bad, you know, when it comes to, you know, like steroids and stuff. I get that. I totally get that. But no one has cheated in the past using this method.
Yeah, this is technology. We're talking about technology.
Like, I agree, Count. It's going to happen again. And it's, well, you know, we just got to question who's going to do it, you know, which team's going to do it.
How are we going to stop them? Right.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if we can't strip the title, then we got to come up with something way more severe than $6 million, you know, or whatever that fine was for them. Five. But, no, steroids isn't technology. Steroids is, what would you call steroids? Genetic boosters?
Enhancers, yeah.
Enhancers?
Performance enhancing.
You know, it's just, I mean, that's just, it, to me, that's different. It's developed by technology. Well, yeah, of course it's developed by technology, but it's a lot easier to get away with steroid usage, I think.
You're hiding that in your body.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, at the mercy of people can see that you are doing something. You can cloak it. You can cloak yourself. You could be the big lineman in if you're familiar with the football movie The Program. You know, would go into the bathroom stall and his buddy would have the little clean urine inside the little toilet paper roll thing. He could just, you know, take it out of it, put it in the cup.
Yeah, and then, you know, also, like, the point that we said, the Astros players didn't get suspended. That's what Ev just put in chat. You know, goes back to the immunity thing, which when Major League Baseball did that, they automatically ruined this investigation. I think it would have
taken long. They're given too much protections, yeah. The agreements on the collective bargaining are what ultimately leading to this mess in particular of trying to discipline.
Yeah, no, it's, I think, I mean, in general terms, it's all cheating. But there's specifics. You know, like, the steroids players get suspended, you know, when they're caught. Here, there has never been, that we know of, I'm going to keep saying that we know of, because we just never know.
Yeah.
There has been another, there's never been another way of a team cheating in this manner. Now, there was a, I really wish I had my names better here. Remember, we're live, so we don't get to, it's not that we rehearse stuff, but there was a player, God, who was it? That said that if Major League Baseball investigated every team like they did the Astros, they would find more stuff than what they wanted to find.
I would agree that is a possibility.
I agree too, but I don't think it would be, I don't think you would find another team using cameras though like that.
Yeah, not as egregious, correct.
Right, as egregious, but I just this is such a big web. Everyone knows about it. There was the unfortunately, this was behind a paywall, so I'm going to do the best I can to explain this.
Yeah, I know what you mean there.
It wasn't by The Athletic. It was by some newspaper. It's not a big newspaper. It was some local newspaper that has a paywall. Kind of like how the Chattanooga Times Free Press, our local newspaper, has one like that. And anyway, so apparently way back in 2017 when this all was going on, someone contacted someone in the Astros organization. I can't remember if it was a player, coach, whoever. And it's detailed in the report. My mind is just crap. But this player got in contact with Chris Archer and was telling him about all this stuff. So 2017, Archer was on the Rays, correct? So another American League team, you know, heaven forbid, you know, if Archer said something to other people. I mean, it's honestly safe to say that every player knows about this way back when, you know. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they've talked about it, you know, recently and in other reports. We knew crap was going on and, you know.
Cheating is cheating, yeah.
We called attention to it. It's going to blow up and here we are.
Right, cheating is cheating. I see where you're coming from, Count, and I agree. The only thing I have issue with is that, in general, yes, like I said, cheating is cheating, but there should be different heavy punishments for different kind of cheating. Like, when a pitcher gets caught with a foreign substance, they're kicked out of the game, and then what, possibly banned?
Fined,
maybe suspended for a start. Mm-hmm. But if a player runs out onto the field and gets into a fist fight a la Amir Garrett or Yasiel Puig, then they're fined and suspended for a different amount of time.
Yes.
You know,
they
so
have precedence for everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess maybe I'm not explaining this well. I don't know. But, you know, I know the title's not going to get stripped. I've accepted that. I'm fine with that. I'm just saying, if it were to happen, this would be the best time to do it. This would be the first time that someone has been caught red-handed, no doubt, 100% know it's true, cheating in this manner, and to discourage teams from doing it, Major League Baseball should have stripped the title. But it's not going to happen. I'm fine with that. People can just go on. I think the Astros are going to pay for it in the long run. We're going to see if they lead by hit by pitches this year. But
yes, it's going to be crazy.
But
who is the first opponent? Who is the first opponent anyway in the regular season? I mean, maybe even preseason. Are they going to do it in preseason? People start throwing them at them?
Ooh, I wonder. Hopefully they don't hit the wrong people. Well, they've already paid. They're paying way more off the field. You know, this is something that's going to be with the Astros probably until these players, maybe not until they retire, but as long as they're wearing that uniform, that's what they're going to be known for. Unless they come back and win another World Series and prove they did it legitimately.
And wouldn't that be a crazy story in itself? I mean, yeah, I'm not going to talk the what if until it happens, to be honest with you. But But what do you know? It's the world champion Nationals that defeated them for the title that are going to be up first in spring training.
Yeah, and then, you know, there was Dusty Baker commenting on that. Okay, now look. Dusty, he's there to manage the team. He's got to protect his players. I get that.
Yeah, that's his job. That's
what he's there for. That's his job. But to ask the Major League Baseball to intervene to stop this from happening is a joke to me. Like,
yeah, because they were the ones that didn't do enough about it.
Even though that we think we know what's coming, there's going to be a pitcher that's going to bean these guys. We don't know who. We were going to say Clevinger, but he's hurt. We'll get to that later. I think, in general, baseball does a good job at policing itself. The players do an okay job at policing themselves. You know, I don't think maybe after, I'm just going to say 2 weeks, no one maybe won't plunk the Astros. But
2 weeks during the regular season?
Yeah.
What are you thinking? Yeah.
Maybe. But by the way, if you're listening on Anchor or any audio platform, we are streaming live on Twitch right now. I don't think this thing's going to weigh as much as we would love to for it to go away. But we're going to do our best to not talk about it as much in the future because it's just...
Well, it's getting more yeah. Nervous,
you know, maybe once the season starts, we'll have more things to talk about.
We got to talk about one more thing, Amos. And, absolutely. That has the effect that this has had on other players. And we did have one player. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago in a report. Gentleman up in Canada. I can't remember it, and it would take me a while to look him up. But anyway, sorry about that. But he talked about Mike Bolsinger and that 49 trash can bang game that the Blue Jays had. And I think it was like an 11 to, I don't know what the Jays scored, loss in Houston. And Bolsinger was the bulk of the damage was against him. Well, he's filed a lawsuit. Yep. And what's great about it, to me, it's in Los Angeles Superior Court.
It's a $31 million dollar suit, right?
Yeah, $31 million. It's great that the team, you know, that was beaten in the World Series, you know, the Dodgers, it's right there is where he filed it because they're probably the ones, you know, probably most angry about it. So I thought that was perfect. So he accuses the Astros of unfair business practices, negligence, and intentional interference with contractual and economic relations. Mm-hmm. But that money isn't all for himself, Amos.
Yeah, no.
No, it's not all for himself. He wants charities in Los Angeles focused on bettering kids' lives, a fund for retired baseball players that need financial assistance. He wants other things to benefit from the Astros' negligence.
Right. So he's suing them, but he's not doing it in or directly for his own cause.
Yeah, because his career is already done. The damage is done
before that game. Yeah.
It was probably done before that game, exactly.
But who better to try to do this than a guy that really has nothing to lose, career speaking. So
right, exactly. But Astros spokesman Steve, is either Grand or Grande, says the team's not commenting on the lawsuit at this time. So we'll keep our eyes on that. Just thought I'd, you know, mention what's going on in case you didn't catch that before.
The account says they'll throw it out.
Probably get thrown out of court. Yeah, possibly.
I mean, it does. I mean, it raises in some ways. Maybe he doesn't have a case.
Yeah, it'd probably have to be class action.
But the way that he filed it, though, all of that did happen.
Yeah, that's for attention in itself, right?
You know, there were other pitchers talking about, you know, it was their one start against the Astros during the scandal. And they got lit up, and now they're stuck back in the minors thinking, with managers thinking, oh, they can't pitch right, you know. So instead of getting that nice bonus or maybe a big contract, they're stuck back in the minors, you know, for whatever reason. But
yeah, gotta battle your way back up, right?
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it will get tossed out. That would be interesting to see. Well, I guess they haven't announced really anything other than that, though.
Yeah, that's about it. All we know so far. So keep an eye out on that. And, of course, you know, media is going to keep on this as long as it's selling advertising revenue and stuff for them. They're gonna keep talking the Astros and stuff, I'm afraid, for a while. So maybe we should move on. But wanted to talk and put a wrap on this whole Dodgers Red Sox trade fiasco that, you know, had gone on for a long time. That we're finally, you know, we're finally resolved this. I can't be happier that my Twins actually finally got their way. And it just makes me think scarier now that Gratterall's not going to the Red Sox, but the Dodgers. So you have from Dodgers to Red Sox, outfielder Alex Verdugo, who, by the way, is going to be out more than likely for opening day. What is it? His back or something, Amos? I can't remember.
For who? I'm sorry.
Alex Verdugo?
He's allegedly having some back stiffness or back issues. One place called it back stiffness, but everywhere else seems to just be saying back issues. So,
yeah. And I guess they already knew this, you know, when the trade was going on and everything. So Red Sox fans shouldn't have to be up in arms, which some of them probably are. But anyway, so they get Verdugo, shortstop prospect Jeter Downs. You know, they're kind of, I've seen reports that they're looking at him to replace Pedroia, basically, you know, in the future. I mean, now is the future,
yeah,
too. But Jeter Downs is there now, you know, a pretty highly touted prospect in the Dodger organization. And then minor...
for the Red Sox.
What's that?
Say a guy named Jeter playing for the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah, isn't that scary? minor prospect catcher Connor Wong as well, from the Dodgers to the Red Sox. And, of course, in return, who else to go with Mr. Bollinger? Counts number one player on his fantasy team.
Bleh. Yeah. Jerk.
But Ray's guy, Mookie Betts. Ray gets to play with Counts guy in Los Angeles. And starting pitcher, David Price and Cash.
Cash.
Cash money, baby. No, the Dodgers then designated infielder Tyler White and outfielder Kyle Garlick for assignment. And it just so happens, I saw across the wire today that because Garlick was on, you know, waivers, he was traded to the Philadelphia Phillies. So the Phillies will have Dodgers prospect Kyle Garlick as a result of this trade.
I bet they relish that.
Yeah.
Ah, I see that. That was a good one. Good joke. You guys like that joke? I like that joke.
Anything else you'd like to say about the Dodgers Red Sox deal, Amos, as we wrap that up?
Thank God it's over. No, one thing I will say about the trade, well, it's not necessarily, I guess, about the trade, but there's rumblings going around LA about, are we going to already work on extending Mookie Betts? And they're just like, whoa, now let's slow down. He's here for 1 year. I'm sure he's going to do fine, but let's make sure he fits into our scheme. But just the fact already that that's been rumored, right? He hasn't even played a game yet. You know, he could play the first game he hurt the rest of the season. But
meanwhile, on social media in Boston, they're just like, let's get a GoFundMe so we can get Betts back. You idiots. You're not the owners of the team. And plus, who's going to give the money? And somebody will scheme it to themselves. You know how it works.
I like the tinfoil hat theory that people have about Mookie Betts. You know, they're saying, I'm sure you've seen it, but or it's not a tinfoil hat. But it's the thing where it's like, I see what the Red Sox did. They traded away Mookie Betts so they could get some prospects, so they could re-sign Mookie Betts at the end of the season, so they'll be back under the luxury tax, and it pretty much resets itself.
Okay.
So, it would be a thing if they did that, you know, because they're now the luxury.
It's possible.
So.
Yeah, it's possible. Dodgers got some work to do themselves. Jock Peterson's still on the team. Artie Moreno got mad for the Angels owner, Artie Moreno. And they pulled out. They pulled out of that deal that was going to get Ross Stripling and Peterson over to help Mike Trout.
I thought Moreno pulled out of that deal.
No, that's what I said. That's what I just said.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I misheard you. Yeah. I mean, he should have been patient. I mean, you could definitely use that pitcher. You could definitely use a guy like Jock Peterson, you know, especially since there's so many, you know, righties. Well, not only in all of baseball, but in the West, of course, but I think Peterson would have been a great fit over there in LA for the Angels. And no doubt that Ross Stripling would have been maybe not an ace, but he would have been a guy to help that rotation that's been plagued with injuries. Mm-hmm. So that's why they got Julio Teheran, a guy to eat innings up, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
What was his name? Dylan Bundy?
Bundy is there, yeah.
So, I mean, he's not a great pitcher, but I'm sure he can eat innings.
Exactly. So. Guys that'll fill the gaps. And I saw an article too on pitcher Jamie Barea. He's lost 14 pounds and is in good shape coming into Angels camp. So good news for the Angels there. Pretty nice. But no, let's talk about that separate deal then for my team. The Twins, they get the Dodgers pitcher Kenta Maeda. That was the guy that they wanted in the Red Sox deal that didn't work out. And so they get him now, just a direct trade this time. Minor league catching prospect Jair Camargo and $10 million cash in the deal. And they give up Brewster Gretterall, still gone. So bye-bye, Brewster.
My name is Brewster Gretterall. Brewster Gretterall.
I still hate that they traded him, but I understand
why. I know. Yeah. There's so many guys, and I'm going to get into it later. We got a Twins and Cubs talk segment. I don't know if you knew that. I hope you knew that.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay, good.
I hope you knew that.
Excellent.
Scramble to find topics.
we'll have it later. Yep. And then they get the outfield that the Dodgers gave Minnesota in the 2018 Brian Dozier trade, Luke Rayleigh. So Rayleigh back in Dodgers. Plus the Twins comp B, which would be the 67th overall pick in the 2020 June amateur draft. I like it.
You know, funny fact about your Twins. I don't know if you caught this or not, because you're really in tune with your Twins.
Trying to.
But there was something that MLB put out about which team has the deepest lineup, the most depth. And they were looking at it from, like, how many games they played, how often do they hit above, I think it was 285 or 290 average-wise. Mm-hmm. And then they would take that and they would do a separate interval of games. Like, how long did they hit above 285 in 10 games, 20 games, okay. 30 games, 50 games, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Twins were number one by a long shot. Mm. So people are saying that stat alone is good enough for them to make – you know, possibly, you know, make a deep playoff run, I'll say. But yeah. I still think the World Series is a shot. But, you know, of course, we got to ask the pitching. But I thought that was very interesting because as much as I expected the Twins to take the number one spot, I didn't think it was going to be the Twins.
Right. Yankees? Definitely.
And with the addition, the thing is, the Twins would have won that even without Donaldson. So now that mm-hmm. they got Donaldson, that increased, I can't remember the point spread, but I believe when they added Donaldson, that increased their gap over second place by like 25 points of average.
Wow. So, see, that gives me validation for my anger when I saw that new, oh, whose lineup do you think is better now, the Dodgers or the Yankees? Well, how about the Twins, jerk-offs?
Yeah. I mean, the Yankees are talented, no doubt. But you've got to look at what the Twins are doing right now. Now that they've signed Josh Donaldson, you've got to give them, even though the Twins or the Yankees have got to beat the Twins on pitching.
Yes.
But, you know, let's just say if Gerrit Cole reverts back to his Pirate days, that's irrelevant, you know. That. I mean, I doubt he will, but I'm just saying that's irrelevant. Yeah. Were my Cubs second? No, I don't remember where I think the Cubs were sixth or seventh. I don't remember exactly.
Oh, really?
I think the Yankees were third, and I can't remember who was second. But
Who was second?
But there was quite a drop off after the fifth or sixth spot. But I thought that was interesting. Yeah. I didn't know if you knew that. So
yeah, it's very cool.
Ooh.
Well,
hold on. I got a take for you.
What's that? What do you got?
All right. So Game Dog puts in chat. He said, "Since we're watching Hot Takes." Love it, Game Dog, by the way. Here's a hot take for Amish. White Sox win the American League Central.
Boy, you know, I'm not discounting it at this time. Honestly, I'm not, because of this whole change that they've had with Luis Robert. And, you know, Jimenez is coming to his own so much. They got the catcher now in Grandal. Their pitching's coming back. Kopech is going to be back by All-Star break. You got a lot of stuff to look at for the White Sox, and there's no doubt in my mind that's going to be the team that the Twins had to watch out for. It was Cleveland last year. It's going to be the White Sox this year that they got to watch out. And I think it's going to be important for the Twins to get off to a really good start, because I don't think that the White Sox are going to jump out of the gate that quickly. They've got this whole new chemistry. Twins just got to deal with Josh Donaldson and some pitching things. But a lot of lineup changes in Chicago, on the south side of Chicago.
Yeah, I'm trying. We'll go into, I believe we're going to talk about the Pecota rankings here.
Great.
So we'll get into that in a second. I'm trying to find where I saved it at. I thought I saved it on Twitter. Maybe I didn't. But continue with what you were saying about that.
No, that's really all the thought I had on. And I just wanted to say to you and to the listeners, viewers, you know, that I thought it was a steal for Boston to have gotten Gratteron. It looked like that trade was going down. But, you know, that we got the Dodgers. So look at the bullpen now for the Dodgers guys. Have you looked at it? Caleb Ferguson makes it about 9 deep. So you got, you know, he's likely a long relief type. Guys behind him like Dustin May, you know, he's your top prospect probably now pitching wise and relief at least. Jimmy Nelson, and now you got Bruce Stark Gratterall. Well, you already have Dylan Floro, lefties Scott Alexander and Adam Kolarek. You know, you still got Ross Stripling, as you mentioned earlier, Amos. You know, he has a gun to the Angels. Yep. Now, you guys are lining up for the time behind Jansen, at least for now. And you know, if Jansen falters, man, we got a lot of fallback. You got Joe Kelly. You got Pedro Baez. And do not forget, Blake Treinen is now in Los Angeles. How scary is that?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot all about that. Yeah. I totally forgot about that deal there. Okay, here we go. I found the Pecota stuff. We'll get to that in a second. But yeah, no, the Dodgers are you said Dodgers, yeah. Sorry. I really need to learn how to do two things at once, but
multitask.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that the Dodgers are gonna, we don't have to even say the Dodgers are gonna win the West. No one that knows baseball could even say the Dodgers are gonna win the West. But my question about that bullpen though. Is actually the back end, is actually Pedro Baez and Kenley Jansen.
And Jansen and Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly for sure. I don't think they utilized Kelly enough last year. I think that's what, I mean, obviously it didn't hurt him, but I mean, I think Kelly, who could throw 100 and he actually has pretty good control, would be a better fit for the eighth inning spot than Baez. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. And you know, I don't have the numbers to prove that. It's just based on what I've seen. But I don't know what the Dodgers are going to do. Further comment, Game Dog says, yeah, I think Cleveland is regressing a bit. And although I'm a Cubs fan, I'm interested in seeing how all of those additions come together on the south side. So he's
on the south side. Right, yeah.
But do we want to talk about the Pecota?
Yeah, because, you know, this was a thing last year when we brought this up in, and you saw what they said about the Cubs and look what happened.
Yeah. It's still ridiculous. Let me find.
Injuries. Amos, we have injuries.
We have people with owies.
Of course, the biggest one, Mike Clevinger. Did you see the news about Mike Clevinger and his knee? I think it is.
I'm pretty convinced that someone from the Astros hired a hitman to take out.
If someone, it was what's the skater's name? You know,
Tony Hawk.
She, Tanya Harding. She hired.
Oh, okay.
Hit on Tanya Harding.
You were going with Tony Hawk for whatever reason.
Tony Hawk skate. Oh yeah, bringing his skateboard right into the side of.
Let me just sell off. Woo! yeah, that's a shame. What are they looking at? 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah, so luckily they think at the most optimistic, he could make opening day. At the most optimistic right now. But otherwise, he might miss the first couple weeks. The three. Yeah, and don't rush him because he's important.
Not rush him.
Exactly.
You bums.
So you mentioned Robertson. He's got put on the 60-day DL, and he's Tommy John and done, I think, right? Is it Tommy John and done for him, or is that Jameson Taillon I'm thinking of? Jameson Taillon is Tommy John and done. 60-day Tommy, yeah, he's Tommy John. Tommy John and done for Robertson, too. So they got free agent Tommy Hunter to come in to Philly.
Pretty decent guy.
We'll see, I guess.
I mean,
but I don't know.
Good for the money and good for what you want to for him to do.
Yeah. And then the A's, I saw Susan Slusser, San Francisco Chronicle A's beat reporter, put up Daniel Mangdon could be put on the disabled list. I'm dialing that up right now, what that is. Arthroscopic elbow surgery. What they've done is they've debrided his elbow, shaving off a small spur on the posterior aspect of the old cranon.
Jesus, Amish has spoken.
Oh, yeah. 5-2 with a save and a 4.83 ERA in 13 games, including 9 starts over 3 stints with Oakland last year. So, you know, he's not a stranger to injuries. And Mangdon, again, going to be on the shelf. And he's out of options and on the bubble for a roster spot. So we'll see what happens with Daniel Mangdon. Other than that, injury-wise, I know there have been, like, little blurbs and bleeps here and there that I've seen on the Twitter. But I don't think
the interwebs.
So how about signings? You saw Billy Hamilton signed a minor league contract with the Giants.
Oh my goodness! How many inside the park home runs can he get there?
We'll talk about that more in the National League, or at least I got some things to say. National League West preview, but that was an interesting signing. Then of course Kevin Pillar with the Red Sox. That's kind of, is it surprising to you or not surprising? Kevin Pillar signed with the Red Sox. Number 5 he's going to have, I guess.
Good defensive replacement Betts was very good. If you're not going to be able to replace Betts offensively, Kevin Pillar is probably one of the best free agents out there for defense. And then with this issue with Alex Verdugo having back issues, it's kind of common sense to go out there and sign Kevin Pillar.
But poor Rizny Castillo. Rizny Castillo, give him the shaft again. He's trying to break in, man. Come on.
He could be like Nolan Arenado and just get out of it.
Yeah. Then we had Domingo Santana signing with the Indians. So a little scary news for me there, I guess. Indians get a little more power there in the outfield. I don't know. It's kind of the same as Puig to me, really, in that uniform. And then he had the Pirates getting Jared Dyson. Did we talk about this last week? We might have, but...
No, I don't think we did.
But anyway, Jared Dyson, they were asking him, you know, well, how does it feel to be? I mean, you're a Pirate now. This is, you know, not exactly... Is this a fit for you? And he's like, dude, anywhere I can be playing ball is a great fit for me.
Yeah, but didn't he also say that there was something along the lines of he's not sure if this team is ready to do anything? Something like
that. Oh, did he say something along those? Oh, God.
You know, I mean, he didn't say it like in a sarcastic, I'm a jerk kind of way. It was more like, okay. I guess he was just being flat out honest. I mean, I think we should all know the Pirates aren't going to do anything this year. Yeah. I mean, they're still growing. I mean, they took a step back by trading Marte, but at this point, you kind of have to. So, Polanco's become a joke, and Elias Diaz is no longer with him, the highly catch prospect that they had for a while. He's not very good. Had him in fantasy last year. Thanks. you know, he's gone. Kevin Newman and Colin Moran look pretty solid, but you're going to need way more than that. Of course, Josh Bell. He's going to be the guy that probably won't go anywhere, I would think.
When Romo's of that, too. You just don't know. But, yeah, more Pirates when the National League Central rolls around. And then Brad Miller, you mentioned. Signed with the Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cardinals picking up. Of course, for those who don't remember, the Cardinals trading away Jose Martinez earlier in the offseason to, believe it was, the Rays. So they had to go out and get somebody else. Brad Miller, probably the best person to fit in for this job. Someone who can make contact. Does strike out a lot, though, which interests me on why the Cardinals are interested in him. And I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know why they signed him. You know,
okay.
Not that I'm saying it's a bad move. I don't know why they signed him. You know, maybe
to compete, maybe.
Yeah, like, of course he's very competitive. And I always get him mixed up with Will Myers for some reason.
Really?
I don't know why. Like, I really don't know why.
Me either.
But, like, when I think Brad Miller, I think of Will Myers. And I'm crazy. I don't know. Don't tell me to watch.
One of those things. I know what you mean, though. It's one of those things. Oh, by the way, it was official that the Tigers put Michael Fulmer on the 60-day IL with Tommy John surgery. So The Fulmer saga.
All right.
Detroit.
Quick question for chat and you, Amish. Speaking of the Tigers. Great.
Chat, you take this one too. Come on.
Yeah. How many games does Mickey play this year?
How many games does... Repeat that. I might have interrupted.
How many games does Miguel Cabrera play this year?
Miggy. The big contract, Miggy.
Since we're talking about superstars of the team going down.
Should we do multiple choice? So 150, 130, 100, 80 or less than 80.
I'm going 80 or less.
Epilepsy says 70. Okay. I'm thinking.
Wow. Count says 48.
Ooh, ouch. Nah, Miggy's got to play at least.
I like counting.
90 games? I'm going to see he's going to make 90 games. 100 for game dog. Okay. Oh, hey, Kyle.
What's up, Kyle? He's at 80. Okay, so game dog's very optimistic. He could be right. Like, I don't know. I'm just asking because he's just been plagued with injuries. You know.
I know. That age and just wears at a guy. And he's so competitive, you know?
Yeah, I know he's a stable for the Tigers, but he's also the reason the Tigers can't go out and get more money. Him and Zimmerman are, because their contracts are insane and they can't. They're practically untradeable. So.
Yeah, it's too bad. But Ron Gardenhire have to deal with it. That's his baby now. If he doesn't get it done this year, you know, as far as impressing people, he's done too. So I was kind of thought he was going to be done after this past year, but we'll give him another one, I guess. Anything else transaction-wise? I didn't see anything fantastic out there. So just some minor things. Tommy Malone is with the Orioles. He's wearing number 69. Eater, eater.
Ha, nice. Shout out to you know, scavenging what I can find, nothing really.
Yeah, that's about it, really. Yeah. Nothing. Hey, Yasiel Puig's still out there. Amos, Yasiel Puig's still out there.
He is. What do you guys think? Which team does he go to? I think he's going to go to the Indians.
Still go to the Indians, even though they just got Santana?
Yeah.
No, Giants are going to get him.
Defense, man.
Giants are going to use him. Got an arm. Even defensive signing.
Got an arm.
Interesting.
Oh, I know a signing that we could briefly touch on. Not a big deal by any stretch to an extent, but Cameron Maben going back to the Tigers.
Oh, thank you. That's right. You mentioned last year that's a guy that deserves a reward for the things that he for the Yankees when he stepped up in there. And so that was so good to see.
I said a reward, not going back to the Tigers. No.
See one guy saying Puig's still available. Red should get him back. Bring Puig back so he can fade Korea's bitch ass. Okay.
All right. Here we go. I'm going to mention this on injuries. Jordan Hicks being placed back on the 60-day injury list, and it just says the right elbow.
Right. Ugh.
The best, possibly one of the funnest relievers to watch. We'll never get to see him because of his damn elbow. Can't stop breaking in half.
Yeah.
Giants picking up Wilmer Flores, maybe for some infield depth.
Right. Diamondbacks lost out on him. I'll mention more about that coming up.
Other than that, there's not a whole lot going on. Basically, I'm going to pick apart what I think is wrong about the Pecota standing. Of course, great. Everyone is more than welcome to give their opinion.
I want to hear them. Hot I want to take. See what you guys think.
Game Dog knows what's up. Yeah, no, I'm going to mention the Mets for sure. I think it's hard to not mention the Mets. So for those who don't know, PECOTA stands for the Player Empirical Comparison and Optimization Test Algorithm. So basically, it's a proprietary system that projects player and... I'm trying to remember this off the top of my head. Team performance. That's it.
Team performance.
I try to study. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I may have to go to Major League Baseball. This may be a second. So if we want to evaluate some things in chat real quick, that would be great. I know you can't see chat, so I'm going to try to
figure it out. Yeah, I'm trying to get it. Somebody type something. Make fun of me. Oh, there we go. I see epilepsy now. Now I'm seeing.
Okay, so if you guys want to emphasize something in chat, go ahead while I'm trying to find this.
So Epilepsy says, I still believe they got a shot, though no one seems to think they'll finish higher than third. You're talking about the Mets? No higher than third because of what, the Braves Nationals? Probably is what you're thinking, right? And I conversely have seen quite a few publications, as a matter of fact, that have placed the Mets as the possible division winner for several reasons. You know, I won't reveal anything right now because we got the Braves in the NL East coming up here in a few weeks as we go through our six divisions, starting with the NL West today. But, I mean, I'm seeing lots of great possibilities just because of the things they've retooled. And the possibilities of these guys, these veterans that were having such problems last year. You know, we'll get more into that with the Mets as we go on. Count says they said that last year to come and get us.
Yeah, Count's not on the Red hype train.
Yeah.
He thinks the Reds are going to flounder, or I don't know what his exact term was. It wasn't flounder, but.
That's interesting.
It wasn't flounder, but.
Yeah, GameDub reiterated that he saw a prediction today that had the Mets winning the East. So I think it is out there more than you think. Maybe it's the major guys. I don't know what USA Today said. I guess I'd have to look at them and what their prediction was. But yeah, I think it's a three-headed monster, possibly, at this point. I do have my mind up right now. I'm not going to say right now because I want everybody to hear it, what I have to say when we do the NL East. But... That aside, so what are the other Pocota predictions that you found interesting, Amos?
What I'm interested in, I mean, there's a lot of things I'm interested in. One thing that I find possible, not likely, but possible, is they have the Reds winning the Central.
Okay.
So
now, they do have that.
They do have that. What I have showing on the screen for you guys right now is the NL East Pocota projection.
Oh, I see. That
since that's the first one I came across. So we're going to look at it real quick. Make sure I have my right one here. Okay, this is the correct one. So obviously you got the Mets, the Nationals, the Braves, the Phillies, and the Marlins.
Wow, Braves are really... It's interesting that they have them so low. I would definitely think them higher than that for wins.
Well, you think with Josh Donaldson not being there, there's a little bit of a hole at third.
Do you think that's going to make that much of a difference in wins?
Well, we also have to remember they don't have Julio Teheran anymore, who, you know, I mean, he's not an ace, but, you know, I think because you don't have that veteran at the back of the bullpen, you know, who are they going to use for the fifth spot? You know, are they going to be reliable? It could cost some wins. You got to look at the bullpen. They did strengthen that bullpen by getting Will Smith for, I think it was a 3-year deal. They re-signed Josh Tomlin, which I was a fan of. He was so good for them last year. He was very reliable. But, you know, to be honest, you could put any of those four teams. Like, you could rearrange this in any order, except for the Marlins, of course.
I don't think the Phillies. I disagree about the Phillies. I don't think they're in that race. I don't think they got a dog to hunt in the hunt.
Really? You don't think the Phillies have a chance? Even with Joe Girardi and D.D. DeGuire,
I don't think they're in that hunting party with the Mets, Nationals, and Braves right now. I don't think they're in that hunting party. They got to prove something to me early on in the season, just to show me that I'm wrong. I just not seeing it.
Do you think they're this far under 500, 77-85 record?
I think it's pretty close. I think that prediction is pretty close.
I'll say this. I think if the Mets are going to win the division, this is the year to do so.
Yes.
This is absolutely the year. They upgraded in every aspect of the team when it seems like all the other main competitors downgraded. You know, for example, they signed Michael Wacha. My point is, they have a good rotation. They have a very solid rotation. Of course,
Rick Porcello.
Porcello, that's right. Of course, you got Jacob DeGrom. You've got Noah Syndergaard. You've got Marcus Stroman, who I don't know if you've seen some of his trading stuff he's put on Twitter, but he looks great. I think he's ready to go. Michael Wacha is a solid number four. He had a very bad year last year, but he's very talented, and I don't think he'll have another year like that. And then, of course, Porcello, who's up and down. But for the Mets, I think he's a very solid fit, whether he's the number four or five guy. So they upgraded their rotation, The Nationals are pretty much the same when it comes to, of course, Scherzer and Strasburg.
It's that number five spot that they've got to look at, but they got some really cool looking guys for that spot.
Exactly. And then with the Braves, you got to question how Fulton Evich is going to pitch this year. Is Max Fried, statistically speaking, he's probably going to have a subpar year compared to what he had last year, unless he really is that good, which we'll find out. Is Max Fried going to be okay? Is Sean Newcomb going to be fine if he's even in the rotation? I don't even know if he's going to be in the rotation or not.
Yeah, because he got Hamill still. Right. Soroka still.
Issues. Hamill's is going to miss. Hamill's is going to miss the first. I believe the first month. He's got shoulder issues.
I was not aware of that.
So, really? Yeah. So that's going to put a dent. The Phillies, you know, they got Zach Wheeler, but is Jake Arrieta going to perform?
Right.
I don't know.
Nola. I'm worried about Nola. I honestly am worried about Aaron Nola.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
But I that's what I'm saying, though. Like, the Mets, even in their bullpen, the Mets improved their bullpen. They got Dylan Betances, which, risky, for sure. But if he is solid, congratulations, you have the best bullpen in the East. I mean, Edwin Diaz has got to recover.
Combining with Lugo, behind Diaz, if Diaz recovers, wow. That's going to be a crazy 1-2-3 punch.
And then, you know, like we said, going back to comparing these other teams, you know, the Braves have a solid bullpen, but it's nothing like the Mets could have. Like, they have it. It's just got to show. The Phillies, Robertson's still hurt. I don't think he's going to make opening day.
No, so, he's done for the year. I've seen indications.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So that money that they've paid for him, they paid $23 million for him to pitch, what, 4 innings last year? And now he's not playing this year. The Nationals still kept a majority of their guys. I think that'll be the biggest threat. Generally speaking, I think Pecota got it right in the East. That's just what I think.
Okay.
And, of course, Miami's going to win more games because they did get some better players.
More than 71. You're thinking more than 71 at this point?
I don't think they'll break 70. Really don't. That rotation is still growing. They've got some really good guys, but I just, you know, we got to see how they're going to grow into this year. And then they've been quietly building that bullpen up. The bullpen looks okay. But, of course, you know, they're in such a tough division. I think they're going to be better than last year. But
I'll put more study into that as we get ready for our big preview week.
Yeah, so I'll look whichever next Pecota I find, I'll bring up for us. But we're going to hit the road here. Thank you guys so much for hanging out tonight. We hope you enjoyed the first episode.
Okay. Live stream. Guys, go to www.buzzsprout.com/787199. That's 787. I'll type it in the chat. 787199. That's where we are on Buzzsprout. And I have a great time. Every week, I pick a segment of the show that we feel best represents that week, you know, in our topics of discussion. And that's kind of how we play it. If you hear something in the show that you thought, wow, Amos just said that exactly as I imagined it should be, or, you know,
as no one ever,
or wow, I hadn't thought of that, or, you know, something like that you think is worthy, send us a quick email, hottakescorner@gmail.com. And let us know, or let us know on the Anchor site. Let us know, you know, sending us a message.
And of course, we'll be back to recording next week. We might do another one of these.
We may, but remember as well that Anchor changes. It's just going to be Hot Takes Corner. We're done with the Hot Takes Corner podcast at Anchor. So if you're looking to go to Anchor and look for us, that's our new home now for season 3. We made it to season 3, Amos.
I love it, man. It's just as much fun as the first time. I think we're slowly getting better. Slowly getting better. But thank you guys so much. We'll see you guys in other streams, of course. And until then, thank you guys so much. Have a good one.